Abstract Expressionism was the defining movement in American art during the years following World War II, making New York City the center of the international art scene. But what did it mean? The drips, the spills, the splashes, the blotches, the color, that energy, what did that signify? Well, Richard Quinn's new book, Abstract Expressionism for Beginners, or as we say in the States, Abstract Expressionism for Beginners, will not only help you understand, but also appreciate the art of some of the most iconic figures in modern art, Jackson Pollock and Willem de Kooning and Marth Rothko and many others. You can explore their lives and their roots, their artistic roots, the world of Greenwich Village in the 40s and 50s, the influence of jazz music, the voices of critics, and, of course, the enduring legacy of this group of artists. Richard Quinn is a freelance writer and editor and the author of Something to Say, Thoughts on Art and Politics in America. He, again, the name of the new book is Abstract Expressionism for Beginners. We are joined by Richard Quinn and Lily Prince, who is not only the illustrator, but also the cover artist of the book and I assume editor, right? You help him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, welcome, Lily, and welcome.
Thank you.
Richard, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having us. By the way, I learned that ABEX, you can call it ABEX. It's the sort of like the classic abbreviation, which spares you from saying abstract expressionism.
ABEX. Yeah. That is helpful, actually. Yeah. And hopefully people will know what we mean. What brought you to want to write a book for beginners?
I guess the idea that I am the target audience. I sort of wanted to reach interested neophytes. I've always loved modern art. I've read about modern art. I had sort of an epiphany decades ago when I lived in New York City of seeing a Jackson Pollock in person and sort of realizing it wasn't just a collection of arbitrary splatters, that there was a real symmetry to it. And I think I sort of wanted to aim a book at me. Not that I don't want to sound so self-indulgent.
Well, you write the book that you want to read,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. It's not a work of art scholarship, yet it's erudite, I mean, I hope. So I sort of wanted to get this combination of an informative, interesting book, but it's not a work of scholarship. It's irreverent. It's funny. There are illustrations throughout by Lily, but, you know, it's not a heavy, weighty tome.
So why do you think that most people should know about abstract expressionism?
I think because it's such a seminal movement, the reverberations echo today, 50, 60 years later. You know, it was the post-war modern art movement. It just looms large in every respect, for good and bad, quite honestly. And I think that there's this element. It's just an enormous, enormous slot of American cultural history, sort of akin to modern jazz, akin to the beat movement. And those comparisons aren't arbitrary. You know, they were around altogether, sort of floating around. It's a hugely significant chapter.
And I think it's almost impossible to understand American modern art history without really understanding the ABEX movement.
So it gives you kind of a through line, a baseline, if you will, of understanding.
Absolutely. You know,
art,
coming
certainly
out of
contemporary art. Too.
Yeah. And coming out of, you know, the early modernists, Georgia O'Keeffe and the Stieglitz circle, and then heading into, you know, what came after and the work that's being done today. You know, if you go to galleries in Chelsea, you know, today, you'll see so much influence from abstract expressionism.
How did you want to present the book? As you say, it's irreverent, it's fun. You wanted it to not be heady.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I guess it was a constant balancing act. I mean, on some level, writing itself is a balancing act. But I just felt I was sort of cutting and trimming in a way. You know, I don't want to dumb down anything. Yeah, I wanted it to be funny. I wanted it to be irreverent. But it also is telling a really important story, too. So it was a constant. I sort of felt I was cooking in a way of sort of adding ingredients, taking ingredients away. It's supposed to be informative. I also wanted to sort of take a look at the larger milieu, the New York City in that time, the political world that was going on. So it's a lot of really heavy topics, but it is a combination. You know, this is not a scholarly tome, like I mentioned, but I don't want it to be, it's not supposed to be light reading either. You know, so it's that middle ground that I hope I've achieved.
How much of what you do in telling the story relies on you to have some opinion about what you're writing about?
I think a lot, and I think a lot of it is I had to sort of restrain myself. On some level, it's sort of my opinion, it's sort of consensus. It's not speculation that Jackson Pollock was an awful, dissipated person who was drunk much of the time. So there's that element of interjecting my opinion on that in a way that sort of like received wisdom on some level. I tried not to really cross the line and say whose work I like better, whose work I like less. You know, on some level it is, I'm allowed to interject my voice, but I didn't want to get too specific about it, like who I liked, whose work is awful. I think that's where I sort of had to restrain myself. But sure, there's the editorial voice, which is me. You know?
And then just that overall idea of abstract expressionism that some, and I mentioned this in the introduction, which is, you know, at some point, well, what is it? What are we looking at? What does this mean? What are we supposed to think? And I assume it's open to great interpretation.
Yeah, you know, it runs the gambit. I think a lot of people don't realize that. When you think about abstract expressionism, you might really only think about the drips and splatters of Pollock. And you might not realize that there's Ad Reinhardt on the very other end of the spectrum doing, you know, very rigidly, carefully painted squares of dark gray on a black ground, waiting, you know, for moments for those squares to emerge if you stand in front of them very slowly. So the speed of different styles of work is completely disparate. And I think people aren't aware of that. It's kind of interesting.
There's also an element of real beauty. I was really surprised at that, too. A lot of the painters, there's a real delicate element to a lot of their work. You know, it's pretty. I know they might have recoiled at their work being called pretty, but there's a real beauty and sensitivity to quite a lot of it.
So anyone who has spent any time in an art gallery, and especially a museum of modern art, has had this experience, at least I think this is a universal feeling, where you go and you're walking around the gallery and you're looking at paintings, and you just hear from somebody, whether it's with a group, a tour group, a school group, whatever the case may be, you hear from somebody, they look at one of these paintings and they say, well, I could do that.
Yeah, I cover that also too,
yeah.
Actually.
I could do that.
Or worse is my kid could do that.
Right. Or yeah, if you gave an elephant a paintbrush, which
right.
I guess that right. was an experiment
right.
done
right.
too.
Right.
So this, and then I guess this book sort of is, that's the audience you're trying to to look and say, well, there is more to it.
I think
than
on
that.
Some level, absolutely. I mean, if that was, you know, there's a whole section I have about the derision that Abex engendered, and it really is. I mean, it's striking. It was compared to monkeys' artwork and kids' artwork, and you know, and I think it's just not the case. I mean, like I said, my untutored eye, when I first saw Jackson Pollock on a museum wall, you can see it's not arbitrary. There's a real symmetry. There's real thought behind it. And I think that if you look, Ad Reinhardt did these big blocks of black paintings. But if you look for more than 2 seconds, it's not just uniform black. There are gradations. There's grays. It's sort of how night progresses. Darkness has its gradations also, too. So there's a real intent behind this work, and I think it's fun and funny on the part of some people to deride it, but it's not just, it isn't my kid could do that. Ad Reinhardt didn't just throw black paint on a canvas and walk away. You know, Jackson Pollock, you know, he sort of liked to pretend he was sort of the wild man of art, and in some ways he was, but there's a real thought behind it, you know, and I think it just takes looking, you know.
Also really interesting in the book that, you know, ritually goes into the politics that were going on at the time just before Abex began. And so a lot of people that he's writing about were actually completely influenced by the atrocities of World War II. And
yeah.
So if you understand the politics and what was going on in the world internationally, it makes more sense that these people came to New York. Some of them were not born here, some were, and kind of exploded, you know, just exploded with materials, exploded with expression, and were doing things that people never did before.
Right.
And so someone like Helen Frankenthaler doing, you know, stain paintings, staining raw canvas, never done before.
I mentioned that you are the illustrator, did the cover art. So what is it like to do illustrations around a book on art?
You know, I'm an abstract landscape painter. I'm
okay.
not an illustrator by trade. And so for me, at first, the idea of approaching this was really daunting. But after thinking about it and sort of exploring it, I started thinking my way in was through my own natural sense of gesture and rhythm and, you know, kind of broken, chaotic line drawing that I tend to do for my own work. And so my style wasn't so, you know, far afield from theirs, although I was applying it to something very representational. So I started doing portraits of these artists, looking up old photos of them, and placing the portrait that I was doing of them sort of with their surrounding them with their own work, that my take on their work. Mm-hmm. And so I'm told that's never been done before, and it's pretty exciting, actually.
Fun to do.
Yeah, I loved doing it, and I never thought I would, so it was a great experience.
I was struck by something you said a moment ago, Richard, about, I think it was Pollock being a wild man of art. And it just brought the question into my mind of, are we allowed, how much should we let what we know about the artist, about their personal life, about what they did off stage, if you will, and how it ultimately affects the art that we see in the galleries?
I think there's an element of Abex being a constant enigma. Excuse me. And I think in some ways, Pollock is a perfect example. You know, he really broadcast the fact that he was a wild man. You know, some of the misconceptions attached to his art were unfair. It was sort of the derision of, like, my kid could do that. He also really trumpeted it. You know, he really played up the image of the virile, ultra-masculine hellraiser. And I think Pollock is sort of a special case in a way. He was very much a creature of PR in a lot of ways, which doesn't eliminate his talent. He's sort of a tough case. You know, he, I think, was harmed by that image. He sort of harmed abstract expressionism in some ways. He definitely buttressed the idea of a sort of wild, untutored form of art, but yet he also made abstract expressionism famous. So it's a really ongoing issue, I think. You know, he was very public about being dissipated and belligerent. You know, he's sort of a special case. I think it's valid to look at his personal life.
The name of the book is Abstract Expressionism for Beginners, and you will be at the Golden Notebook in Woodstock tomorrow.
Tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
Tomorrow at 6. And then at the Jack Shaman Gallery in Hudson on September 16th.
Actually, in Kinderhook. It's the Jack Shaman Gallery / the school.
Okay. That's in Kinderhook.
It's in Kinderhook officially. Friday, September 16th at 6 o'clock. And then here in Albany, Saturday, September 17th at the Bookhouse at Stuyvesant Plaza from 3 to 5.
Excellent. So plenty of chances to meet and also to look at the book and hear you talk about it. When you put all of this together, do you think, will you end here or do you want to look at other times in art history?
I would love to do more.
Other movements.
I would absolutely love to do more. If I could wave my magic wand, we'd be doing 10 more books, you know. So, yeah, I think it's all very interconnected. And Abex is not the last word either. You know, I mean, it's huge, but it's not the only school of art. There's lots to explore. You know?
And so the next, if you, like, today, if you had to start one, what would you want to work on?
I think some of the earlier, we actually talked about this, the things that led to abstract expressionism, like Georgia O'Keeffe, Stieglitz, that circle, because they, much more obscure these days, but they really laid the groundwork for American modern art. I would love to take a look at that also, too.
We have about 30 seconds, and I just want to thank your daughter, Stella.
Mm-hmm.
Stella brought cookies that she made all by herself, I understand, and she made them for us and the crew here at WAMC and the Roundtable. And I don't know if you want to share your microphone there with your mother.
Or
if you don't want to be on the air, that's fine. But it was just very kind of you, and I thank you very much for doing it. It's very, very, very sweet.
I think we're getting her to the microphone.
Thank you so much.
Well, it's very nice, and thank you for doing it all by yourself. That's very nice.
No problem.
Excellent. Next, he's going to have you illustrate a book. You know that. All right. Well, it's congratulations on the new book. It's very cool. It's Abstract Expressionism for Beginners. Richard Klin is the author. Lily Prince is the illustrator. Stella is their beautiful daughter. And we thank you very much for...
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming
thank
in.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you for having us, Joe.
And again, Golden Notebook in Woodstock on September 10th, the Jack Shaman Gallery on September 16th, and the Bookhouse on September 17th. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.